Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, in studio today with us. And I'm also a pastor out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And Bill, these are times of testing for the Western Church. It's a faith test. It's just not easy. I mean, you're taking risks. It's hard. You know, you got to go to church on a Sunday. And it's hard. And there are people, there are police officers standing around your church, fenced off. And these Canadian pastors are standing in the gap. You know, church attendance has dropped off in America to 17%. And that's just people who have attended once per month in the last month. 17% of Americans now attending church. Do you know that? Down from 49% some 10, 11 years ago.
Wow.
So you've got a huge precipitous collapse on church attendance. And again, that 17% is only, you know, those who have attended church in the last month. So it might have been one time, two times, four times, whatever. But Canadian pastors are standing strong. And this church in Edmonton, Alberta, the pastor was in jail for, I'm going to say, 4 weeks, might have been 5 weeks. And as of last Sunday, they were meeting in an undisclosed location because their church had been fenced off. And apparently 400 members of the church still gathered, despite the fact their church was fenced off.
Yeah. And what happened is there was a protest at the church property and people tore down the fence.
Yeah.
And
that's not where they met, though.
That's not where they met.
Somewhere else.
But people tore down the fence. And part of it was Todd Starnes' commentary and reporting on it, and he said, "Teareth the fence down." Todd Starnes, you know, is a religion reporter, and I'm going, it's finally time somebody did say it. Tear the fences down. They do not have jurisdiction over that church property. Government does not have jurisdiction to close a church like that.
And, of course, God's law has it such that the word of God must go forth, there must be preaching. And yeah, it might be against the rules, it might be against the regulations of the state. Certainly, Peter and John were fighting against the regulations of the state when they insisted on bringing the gospel into the temple grounds. Remember that? They brought the gospel in the temple grounds. You guys say, well, that's violating private property. I can hear all the naysayers stepping up against Peter and John and saying, you guys are all messed up.
You should just go outside.
Just go outside.
I can't tell you how many times, Kevin, when we're out with Worldview Leadership Camps, because every Wednesday we take students out and we have them share their faith either on a college campus or a downtown area. I can't tell you how many times I've had police officers or those in positions of authority suggest either directly or indirectly, why don't you Christians just go back to your church? Why don't you Christians just go back to your church?
Yeah.
Don't bring it out here. My buddy Russ Carter likes to say the culture loves it when we build big churches because it keeps us contained.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's the Christian gospel is contained by 10,000 regulations. And that's what they're attempting to do. I mean, they're attempting to get the apostles out of the city square, out of the temple grounds, because that's exactly where they kept going over and over again. You can hear the naysayers saying, you know, they were violating the civil law and they're rebels, et cetera, et cetera. No. They had a higher obligation. They had to obey God rather than men. And we must obey God rather than men. We must take the risk of getting disease. We must take the risk of getting arrested. Why? Because the priority is that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and the word of God must be preached. Absolutely must be preached. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ must get out, and we must risk arrest. You know, it's interesting, these pastors from communist China, we had one pastor from communist China visit our church, and they were routinely kicked out of the churches. They were showing me pictures. He had a whole slideshow of, this is what happens, you know. Yeah, the gendarmes, KGB, whoever it is, comes down, they kick you out of the church, and you know what they did? They'd go down to the town square, and they would hold the service in the town square. That's what he told me. He said, yeah, we had 1,000 people. We went out to the town square, and there were 100,000 people milling around this gigantic city in China, and they went ahead and did the worship service right in the middle of everything. That's not exactly what they did in Canada. They held the service at an undisclosed location. But it was interesting that they continued their meeting in the center of town. They would do that routinely.
Yeah.
They get kicked out. They continue to meet. And then he said, yeah, my wife got arrested that time. And I think I got arrested and two other people. There were four of us got arrested, but that's all right. The gospel went forth. You know, 1,000 people in the town square singing gospel songs, hearing the word of God preach. It was a beautiful time. He said, beautiful time. Now, there's some faith there, Bill.
You know, that's Paul and Silas in chains praising God.
Oh, yeah.
Before the earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, you know what they're saying? Hey, you tell the magistrates to send their policemen down and escort us out of this jail. We're not going out the back door. Mm. That's the way Christians operate. Yeah. As you've pointed out, we praise God when we're persecuted, and we will stand and protest injustice at the same time.
When you're persecuted, do you hide or do you go even more public? When you're persecuted, do you hide or do you go more public? Now, friends, here's one more thing I'm going to say. The apostles got out of prison the very next day. They were back in the middle of the temple grounds, right in front of the plate glass window of the conference room of the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
I added that part.
But I don't think you're far wrong.
But there they were, preaching the word of God.
Acts chapter 5.
Sanhedrin's going, who are these guys? Oh, they were the guys who were arrested last night.
We told you not to do this. And so what did Peter and John do? They didn't say, nanner, nanner, boo, boo, we're going to disobey you. What did they say? We must obey God.
They did it out of the fear of God and obedience to God.
Christians are always obedient to true authority. True authority comes from God. Therefore, we always obey God.
Now, a question here. When you get persecuted, do you run and hide or do you go even more public? Now, here's the underlying principle that I want to apply. Listen to this, Bill. I don't like Monday morning quarterbacks when it comes to people who are facing persecution.
No, I don't either.
I don't like couch coaches, easy chair critics. Believe me, and I do not want to criticize anybody going through persecution. They're going to respond in different ways. They're going to pray through it. And here's, you know, people who criticize Peter and John for what they did, or people who criticize what the Canadian pastors are doing, I don't want to be near them. I don't want to be near the Monday morning quarterbacks, the couch coaches that are trying to second guess what people are doing when they're in the fires of persecution. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, and Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. And you know what's funny, Bill? In the discussions I've had with Christians over the last week, I'm getting two comments, sometimes in relation to the Canadian pastors and what's going on in Alberta and what's going on elsewhere. And we're going to hit one more example of a Canadian pastor standing up against the tyranny. And I've had two different responses from Christians. One is sort of, let's break every law. Let's not agree with the adversary quickly while we're in the way with him. Let's not carry the pack of the extra mile. And then the other one is, let's fold right away to the authorities. Let's not stand for whatever freedoms God has already given us. So, you know, I'm seeing people hitting the guardrails on both sides. Yeah. Some of them, you know, just want to break every law. And some of them are more of a, you know, I don't think we want to stand up against tyranny, do we? Both sides, both guardrails are faithlessness and a lack of obedience to God. On both sides, it's a lack of faith and a lack of obedience. Right down the center is the is the road of faith. Now, you mentioned that Paul pressed his rights as a Roman citizen over and over again, right? You mentioned that. That at Philippi, he called the city council, no, I'm going, not going out the back door, we're going out the front door, and y'all are going to sign the document. So Paul pressed his rights as a Roman citizen.
But notice he didn't do it when he was first unjustly beaten. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he held off, didn't he?
He held off.
Mm-hmm. And now, again, I don't want to second guess. I don't like being the Monday morning quarterback. But this Canadian pastor that stopped the police from closing down his worship, this is a Polish immigrant, Artur Pawlowski. And this thing has gone viral. This is everywhere.
Yeah.
I think I've counted 5 million views on YouTube and the Fox News report on it. He was on Fox News primetime as well. But Pastor Artur, I'm not sure John MacArthur's getting this much coverage.
Yeah.
But this Canadian pastor, he stopped the police. Apparently the health inspector was coming in to inspect what was going on in his church building, and he pushed back. Now listen to this. I think we played a bit of this on the Worldview in 5 minutes, but listen to this.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. Don't, I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this
property. I don't know how it goes for 2.5 minutes. This guy.
He wasn't being very Christian there, Kevin.
Gestapo is not allowed here.
All right. They're turning around right now. They're leaving. And that's 5 police officers and the health inspector.
Yeah. And most people would say, well, he wasn't being very, very loving.
He wasn't being very nice.
No, he wasn't being very nice. Well, Jesus wasn't a nice guy. Okay? When he drove the money changers out of the temple, it wasn't just out of a burst of emotion. It says that he sat down and braided a whip. When you braid a whip when you go out and purchase one,
that's pretty serious.
You have time to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
You have time to rethink your position. And that was Jesus's position. He drove the money changers out of the temple, just like this guy drove those supposed officials out of his church. I want to stand on my chair and cheer when I hear that.
Now, one thing to say is that he had a legal right as well. They did not have a warrant. And so he pressed his legal rights. Now, evidently, they didn't want to cooperate initially because he just kept telling them, we want you out, but they would not leave immediately. But then eventually they turned tail. My first thought, wow, this seemed a little over the top at first.
Not to me. Mm-hmm. His statement is, we as lions should never bow before the hyenas.
Yeah, that was his Fox News interview.
And I'm going, whoa.
Well, then I thought this. After I did some research, I thought, you know, I think this guy understands what it is to live under communism.
Yes, he does.
That's what I was thinking, because he doesn't have any, you know, normal Canadian accent or an American accent.
Right.
He has an Eastern European accent. So I caught that, and I thought to myself, I'm not sure that we know what it's like to live in under communism.
Yeah, we don't. It's been the iron fist and the velvet glove for us. For him, it was the iron fist, bare-knuckled.
Yeah, he said that people would come in and drag people away in the middle of the night. They'd just rush in without a warrant, drag you away, and you never see that person anymore. So he said that kind of thing was happening in his interview with Fox News Primetime last Tuesday. He said, I grew up under communist dictatorship behind the Iron Curtain, under the root of the Soviets. And I'm telling you, that's no fun at all. It was a disaster. Police officers could break into your house 5 in the morning, beat you up, torture you, arrest you for no matter what reason. It was like a flashback when those police officers showed up at my church in Canada. Okay, it's a flashback to that. That's what I was thinking. This guy had experienced it, and he knew what we were facing.
And he had tasted liberty.
Yeah.
And he wasn't about to give an inch.
He said every kind of thing came back to life from my childhood. In other words, these flashbacks brought back his childhood experiences. All the fear and the brutal force of communism came rushing back into his mind at that moment. And the only thing I could do is to fend off the wolves as a shepherd, and I used my voice to get rid of them.
Isn't that amazing? How they cowered. Five police officers, a health inspector with all the power of the state behind them, and what did they do? They turned tail and ran simply by the power of his voice and his confidence in his liberty and in the Word of God.
He says, the only way I know how to fight them was what happened in 1981, that I witnessed millions of Poles in Poland taking to the streets and saying to them, no more, get out of our country, get out, stop. Now, the Poles also, there's one more thing that hit me. When I saw he was Polish, I actually looked up the derivation of his name because I was curious. And I thought the Poles suffered under the Nazis and the communists. They got a twofer.
Yeah.
And it was no different. That was not pleasant.
It was no different.
It was
fascism
horrible.
And Marxism
horrible.
Are the same.
Horrible.
Yes.
Think about some of the most horrible experiences that not just the Jews, but also the Poles experienced in Poland, friends. It was horrible. They were talking about, what, close to 40 years of persecution under the iron fist of the Nazis. And I don't think any country got as bad as the Poles did. I don't think any of the Jews in any country got as bad as the Poles did. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And so now here's a man
Auschwitz,
who's
right?
already experienced. Here's a man that's already experienced this tyranny under the Nazis and the communists. Now, he's got an opportunity here. And here's the point I want to make. Now, he comes on Fox News and speaks to, you know, tens of millions of people on Fox News last week. And he says, clergymen should reunite and start pushing this darkness away. We should come and take to the streets and say, no more lockdowns, no more restrictions. We're not putting up with this anymore. We are fighting back. He's urging Canadian residents to get them out of your properties, out of your business, out of your churches, and open the churches. And I think sometimes we're in the position, here's the point I want to make, Bill. Sometimes we're in the position where we can face down the tyrants. We have an opportunity to face down tyranny. Now, I asked our brother who is from Hong Kong, but he's Chinese, and he's working with us now in the ministry. And I asked him, I showed him this video, and he was shocked. I said, what would happen if somebody tried that in China? He said, well, they just shoot you.
Yeah.
They would just shoot you. Yeah. That's what they would do. They just shoot you and be over. But they don't do that in America right now because they don't have a warrant. They have a couple of issues. They don't have a warrant. There's a constitutional issue. There's a few things in the way. So you don't have the opportunity to push back in China. This is what occurred to me in all of this, is when you have an opportunity, maybe you should take it. And that's what this guy did.
Okay, there's no maybe about it, Kevin. It's yes, you should take it. You should seize the opportunity to stand for liberty. Okay, it reminds me of Caleb, my favorite character in the Old Testament. He said, look, after the children of Israel voted not to go into the promised land, he and Joshua, the only two who said we can take it, spent 40 years until everybody died off except them. He attended more funerals than any other person. He should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. And it wasn't a sad time for him. It was one step closer to being in the promised land. I guarantee you that. After that, there were 5 years of generally conquering the land. And then what did he say? He went to Joshua, who is now the leader, and he said, give to me what was promised to me 45 years ago. And he said, he pointed right up to where the giants lived. He said, that's my land. That was promised to me. I'm going to take it with my army and God's help. Everybody else stand back. We need Calebs in our culture today. This pastor is a Caleb. He's saying, you don't come here into this church. He didn't say, I'm going to go out and form a protest at another church. He took care of his land. It was hit the giants. There were five police officers and a health official, and he backed them down. That's a Caleb moment. That's a Caleb move.
People are asking, what's the biblical principle that ties in here? Bottom line is he had an opportunity. Bottom line is they did not have the warrant. Bottom line is he had the ability to push back a little bit. just a microcosm, an example of what could happen with tens of millions of other people who had the faith and the courage to do it. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which, by the way, is the key verse from my book, The Story of Freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says in verse 21, if you can be free, use it rather. You're bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. So if you have the opportunity, the key word there is if you can be free, use it rather. Is there an opportunity? Do you have a little bit of a window of opportunity? Is the door cracked, 0.5 inches? Do you have just a little toehold, a little bit? Do you have something there?
Then Paul kick says, the door down. Rather.
Yeah,
kick that door open.
Okay, that's the Bill Jack version, 1 Corinthians 7:21. Kick the door open. Paul says, use it rather, and he gets at that point, he gets rather passionate and says, you are bought with a price, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Be not the servants of men.
Yes.
So again, freedom is a value and something that most Christians don't acknowledge. I encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, in which I argue the cause of freedom, the cause of liberty, that I believe Christians should continue to kick the door open and to obey the instruction. By the way, that's a command. That's a command. 1 Corinthians 7:21-23 is a command. If you can be free, use it rather. That's what Paul says. Freedom is at a razor's edge right now. Our freedoms, Bill, are on a razor's edge right now. You agree with that?
No, I absolutely agree with that.
This tyrannical state is right now licking its chops.
Yeah.
The tyrannical state, every tyrant wannabe in America, virtually every Democrat party, remember, the tyrannical state is licking its chops right now, my friends, and the freedoms are on a razor's edge.
Liberty is in the dock.
Is it possible?
We need to stand for it.
Is it possible that a little faith, a little boldness might stave off the tyrants right now? Is it possible that you could act in faith as a pastor, as an elder, as a leader in the church, or as a congregant? Could you possibly encourage a little more freedom for the church to meet against the rising tyranny of the day? Is it possible? Well, what makes the present scenario difficult and controversial with Christians are several things. Number one, and I want people to understand that our present situation is somewhat difficult. And here's what makes it difficult for us. We are right now transitioning into a very post-Christian, anti-Christian culture. That's where we are. Chinese Christians are used to it. They've been persecuted for, well, since the Nestorians of the 600s, 1,400 years of persecution, believe me. Morrison, the first missionary to Hong Kong, was persecuted for translating the scriptures. I mean, this kind of thing has happened for a long time. Chinese Christians have been persecuted. We haven't. We Christians in the West, we're moving from being in a dominant position in the culture to be a persecuted minority. It's tough. Calls for some wisdom here. And by the way, one more point. I think there is something of a tendency towards pacifism with some of our Christian brothers and sisters. And I don't particularly appreciate the pacifists who take advantage of American freedoms. They enjoy the freedoms, but they would never lift a finger to defend it. They never would have fought for these liberties. They would not have advocated for freedoms in the courts or fought for freedoms by changing the laws. And by the way, whenever we're trying to pull the troops together to retain a little freedom in the courts or in the legislatures in our particular state, Bill, when I get down there, last time I was down there, like 8 people gathered. I mean, it's not, and sometimes there's 15 or 20. Sometimes we can get 30 or 40.
Nah.
But there's not
that
many.
The other side rallies, and they can rally scores of people.
I know they do.
When we end up with one or two.
I know they do. It's just not very many people will contribute to planting the seeds of freedom, but wow, so many people show up when they want to enjoy the fruits of it. That happens so much, my friends, and I just don't particularly appreciate that. I don't appreciate the pacifists who just love to take advantage of American freedoms, but man, they wouldn't do anything to defend them.
Even worse, they criticize those who do stand in defense.
I know. They wouldn't even advise a brother to fight for his liberties by appealing to his rights under the law. They wouldn't back the Apostle Paul. They wouldn't back Peter and John. They just wouldn't. They would never have fought for freedom under the lower magistrates in our war for independence. They would never have joined that side. And they criticize people who secured our freedoms. But still, they would never move into a communist country where they have zero political influence. They don't want to use their political influence. but they don't want to move into a communist country where they have zero political influence. They remain here in a free country where others fought to secure the freedoms, and now they're ungrateful for the freedoms we've secured here, such that they won't even study American history. So again, friends, this is not the kind of person you want to be. That's all I'm saying. This is not the kind of person you want to be. Don't be these people. Let's study the Christian heritage of the nation. And I'm just going to end with an encouragement to be grateful for the freedoms that God has given to us. Read our books, The Story of Freedom, which gives you the 800-year story of the battle for freedom to get us where we are today. Of course, we're losing those freedoms. That's the content of the last four chapters of the book. But for the first 16 chapters, you're going to be encouraged by the unbelievable faith of just a handful of people who fought for the freedoms that we enjoy today. So study the Christian heritage. Share it with your kids. Read The Story of Freedom. I'd encourage you to grab a copy of American Faith, which gives you, I think it's 27 vignettes of great Americans who are Christians. The strongest Christians I know in American history, like Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry, Increase Mather, others who fought tooth and nail for American freedoms. Read these great little biographies, The American Faith and American God's Providence. Tell the stories. That's all I'm saying. Tell the stories of freedom. Tell the stories of liberty. Give God a little bit of glory. Give Jesus some thanksgiving for the freedoms that his people have brought to the Western world over just the last 800 years. Tell the story of freedom. Get a copy of The Story of Freedom, American Faith, American God's Providence, at our website, generations.org. Just go to the store. You can pick that up right now at generations.org.
And if I may, I'm going to recommend they get the little nine-week devotional that I've done, the nine-week study guide on faith and duty. And it is the current state of what's happening. These are unsung heroes who have stood like that pastor.
Good.
That I personally know.
Good.
And they can also get it by contacting us here.
Email me at host@generations.org for that summary of present heroes for the faith and for freedom.
What do you do when evil seems to be winning? That pastor, he makes me smile. He just makes me smile and rejoice.
Well, it's okay? Good to see a little faith
here
and there. All right, if you'd like Bill Jack's presentation, friends, it's host@generations.org. I'll just shoot it over to Bill and he'll get you a copy of it. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.